Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
Good morning, sir. I am doing well. Looking forward to coming into the weekend. Homecoming week at Pope High School, so that's new and different for my sophomore this year.
Homecoming? And isn't it only been like 2 weeks?
I know. Homecoming? I haven't been away from home for very long. And Parents' Day at UGA. So Friday night is homecoming. Saturday is Parents' Day
at
UGA.
So you have to go to Athens?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and homecoming for your wife, right? She's back from, where'd she go?
After 5 weeks. She's been in Anchorage, Alaska for 5 weeks.
Wow. That is, she must love her job.
She does. She does thoroughly enjoy it. And she was so excited when I told her yesterday about the new show that we're launching in October, Learning Insights.
Right.
Sponsored by Training Pro. So she was very jazzed about that. So she may want to help out in some way on that, I think.
That's good stuff. And I'm excited about today's show. We have the Association of Telecom Professionals, ATP. We have Gary Humphrey. Welcome, Gary.
Hello.
Hello. Very good. And Gary, you're going to tell us a little bit about what ATP is about and what you guys do for folks.
I sure will. ATP is an association that is really focused on communications and technology professionals. So we really drive a lot of thought leadership in the Atlanta area and really all of Georgia. It's an all volunteer organization. So uh-huh. this is a nighttime volunteer after hours type thing.
So you have a day job.
Do have a day job.
And all leadership in ATP has day jobs?
They do. Correct.
Uh-huh. Now, where does technology communications? How do they all play together in this group?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. When we started 13 years ago, it was pretty telecom-centric.
Right.
The convergence of technology, anything from mobility to security to the newly defined cloud, it is all coming together. Really, it's from any device to any device type of a scenario these days.
Oh, so that's how you're defining it? So it's much broader than just the telephone.
Much broader than just the telephone. And that's really going to kind of the moniker of ATP,
uh-huh.
Trying to get away from the telecommunications piece, because it is much more of a converged environment.
Has it converged just recently, or like, what? Or did you guys just kind of evolve as the technology expanded?
Exactly, we evolved over the years, and just like technology cycles, we've seen the evolution start cycling quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So, convergence back in 2010 was pretty siloed still. The different aspects of telecommunications these days, it's just all kind of mixed together, and it's just very complete across the entire spectrum.
So you guys get together regularly and talk about important things going on in the industry. What do you talk about?
We talk about anything from security predictions, which was the first show that we did in January of this year,
right,
to some specific special interest group type initiatives.
So how'd the predictions go?
Yeah.
You did good. You predicted well.
Well, I didn't do the predictions, but luckily we have the person in the audience who did.
And they did a good job. They were accurate.
Very much so.
I think it's our cue to bring in our other guest. And she won the whole shooting match, right? And overall ATP of the Year winner, CEO for, I'm going to probably say it wrong, Dembala.
Correct.
How did I do? Yeah.
Great.
So, yeah, tell us a little bit about this whole process of winning this award. That had to be very exciting.
Yeah, so I'm Val Romani. As you say, I'm the CEO of Dembala. You said it absolutely right. I was honored last year. I have to be honest, I was hugely surprised because I knew about ATP. I didn't know they were broader than just telecommunications. So when someone said, hey, you're on the shortlist, I was like, but I don't do telecommunications. I do security. Then they explained it to me. And it's a great group. I've had a great time being a part of it. You know, it's obviously a networking group, but a networking group with a twist in the sense that there's some people with some real skills. And the point is not just to go and have cocktails, which we all do a lot of here in Atlanta, but rather to go and learn something and actually meet people who can be helpful either because of their skills or because they can be a lead for you or whatever. So
what does Dembala do?
So we're in cybersecurity, so we stop the kind of threats that bypass all the other systems. So if you are being infected or your company is being infected right now with all these viruses and Trojans, the kind of things that, steal data, whether it's industrial espionage if you're an oil company or it's, you know, personal information if you're a bank or somebody, we stop all those things. Everybody else today tries to stop them getting in to the system, We liken that to bolting your door. Of course, you want to bolt your door when you leave your home.
Right.
But you probably set an alarm as well, because you recognize that a really determined, smart criminal is going to find a way through any kind of bolts that you put on your door. So our aim is to find those bad guys as soon as they get into your system and stop them doing any harm. And we're really successful at doing that. We're growing very fast. We're here in Atlanta. You can probably hear I wasn't exactly born and bred here in Atlanta.
I didn't. It wasn't a Smyrna accent. I was
No, it's Alpharetta.
So kinds of clients that you're working with, small business, large business?
You know, up till now, it's been mainly large business, a lot of telecommunications. Mm-hmm. So we have some of the large cable companies, and actually worldwide, we have some of the large telcos. But also banks, insurance companies, oil companies, manufacturers, retailers. Unfortunately, everybody has this problem today.
So are bad guys just out there aggressively just poking around big corporations? Is that like a day-to-day basis?
They're not poking around. They're stealing. This is no longer the realm of amateurs having a bit of fun. I mean, this is determined, organized crime. I mean, these are people who want to steal exploration data from an oil company, or they want to steal banking data from a bank. These are people, some state-sponsored, some just criminals, but they have a very clear goal and a very clear aim, and they're very good at doing what they do.
And that's to sabotage whatever that company is.
No, it's to steal. To
get
make
the
money,
information.
To make money.
You know where to drill oil, right?
I could point you to websites where you can buy this kind of information. I mean, your credit card numbers are all probably out on a website somewhere available for sale.
I don't know if I'd want to give my credit card number to a person who specializes in stealing information.
You don't know who they are, though.
That's a fact.
You don't know who they are.
So, Gary, I can see why you guys, why she kind of rose to the top in this competition. What were some of the other kinds of concerns that were in the hunt for this?
Well, you have the typical heavyweights that are perennial nominees, companies like AT&T, Verizon, the ones that are really traditional service providers. But then you also have organizations that are more on the enterprise side, so the people that really consume the telecommunications services companies. For example, this year that are represented are Aaron's, Coca-Cola, Cox, as well as some very...
Sounds like NASCAR.
Yeah, exactly.
So how does like a Coca-Cola fit into the, you know, this telecom? They don't sound like a traditional technology or telecom company.
Right, but with the Coca-Cola company, you know, they're in 200 plus countries around the world.
Right.
So they're a huge consumer of telecommunications and all sorts of technology.
So they're using the services a lot.
Right. So they would be classified in our enterprise category.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Now, so you have ATP has now evolved into this much broader entity than it was, like you said, 5-10 years ago. And you're doing events. So you have these networking events, and then you had this gala. And the gala last year, Val's team, they won the ATP.
ATP of the Year award, right? It was the best overall.
Right. And then so there's a new one coming up shortly, right?
Right. November 13th, 2012 at the Cobb Galleria Center. And we have, a strong list of nominees.
So it's the who's who of Atlanta Telecom.
Best and brightest in technology and communications.
And then what happens at this gala? You just give out a lot of awards and drink?
Well, but yeah, we do. We have a few cocktails.
Is that right, Val? Did I cover it?
That's about it.
Yeah, that's a good summary. You learn quick.
Yeah, I've been to some of those before.
Right. No, actually, it's interesting, though, because it really is the who's who. I mean, this was my first one last year as the awards gala, and I was amazed because almost every one of the big companies, you know, is represented there, mm-hmm. and some have a whole table. So it's an amazing event.
Now, being part of the group, did that help you get business? Did that give your company credibility? How did it help you?
I hope it gave us credibility. Certainly from a very straightforward point of view, it gave me leads. I mean, one of the things I'm always excited about, you are when you run a business here in town, is you're excited about meeting, you know, senior executives of some of these organizations. And, and I've met them both through the awards gala and through some of the other events that I've been to at ATP. It's been great.
How do you work a room like that? Because I am like the world's worst networker. That's why I had to get into this business. At least I can meet people, right?
Right.
Because I'll tell you exactly what will happen to me without a little bit of counsel. As I go to the thing, I see Lee across the room. I forgot to tell him something earlier today. You know, I grab a beer, you know, or a margarita or whatever they're serving, and then we visit all night.
And then we're like, ready to call it a night. Let's go home. And that's it.
But there's got to be a better way to work the room. And you guys probably have some structure in place that, that gets people together and enables them to really make those connections. Huh?
We do, especially at the gala. We have a VIP reception, which is for certain level sponsorships. It really gives an intimate setting to sponsors to meet and greet with some of the executives of different organizations. So, I mean, there is a lot of that. You know, I see a friend, and I go and chat with them and catch up, and then there is people that approach it with a plan. They say, you know, I know these five people will be there.
Right.
I'm gonna go track them down.
Exactly. Right? I'm gonna find them.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, I should put in a word for them. I don't mean to, in a sense, but Gary once said, when I went to my first one, they were great. I mean, several of the organizers, Karen Finger, who's the president, and Gary, and several of the others came and grabbed me when they saw me standing with someone for too long, because I do the same. You know, you grab a glass of wine and you get chatting.
Right.
You know, and you're on to, you know, what do you do with your yard?
right.
But it was interesting because people would come and grab me and say, hey, there's this guy here at Aaron's. Why don't you come meet him? Or there's this other person over here. So they were great. They actually sort of led me around and made it very easy.
Now, Gary, is that a part of your methodology as a group that you
it's
have
the
people
Gary method.
Like an ambassador?
It is.
Well, ambassadors that help kind of facilitate those kind of relationships, because I'm with Val. Like, I lock on to somebody and then that's it. And if somebody grabs me and moves me, I'm grateful for that.
Right. Yeah, we actually do. We do seek out individuals and the whole.
And try to be a matchmaker a little bit.
Ambassador. Right. And we know what the value is that they're trying to achieve most of the time. There's a personal connection.
Right.
And a lot of times it is. It's for them to continue coming to the different meetings. We want to make sure they see the value in the events. And a lot of it is just the connection.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the network. We like to say connecting, because to us, connecting is more, I want to introduce Val to John because of what they can do together. Gary may not get anything out of that relationship, but I want to connect them. And there's where the value of the association comes in.
Right.
And you've got, or it seems to me like you have competitors in the room, but yet it's a very collaborative environment. Is that accurate? And if so, can you speak to how to pull that off?
Yeah, that's, I think that's a challenge at any association meeting, but
right?
It's a, you see a competitor possibly talking to one of your prospects, so you just try to go and, you know, box them out just like in basketball.
Exactly. You just call in like, hey, there's a call for Bob, right?
Yeah, it's but it is. I mean, it's almost like it's a neutral setting, so it's a very collaborative, cooperation type of an environment. So you're competing but also cooperating.
Right. Now, Val, in your industry, it's super competitive, and Atlanta happens to be kind of a place where security is one of the things we do well here. Now, how did you kind of stand out from the crowd? Because there's a bunch of players in your space here.
Oh, you know, and actually most of the players here in Atlanta are not competitive with each other. We have a super set of security here in Atlanta, as you've said, but on the whole, we all have our own things that we do. So I was originally ISS. I mean, that's what brought me into Atlanta ISS. I was the big, bad, evil person in IBM who led that acquisition. so I know a lot of the folk there, and I know a lot of the folk at SecureWorks. And actually, we tend to, if anything, we partner together rather than compete. We each have something very specific.
Like
that
you've
we do.
Carved out your own little piece of space in
right.
the industry,
I mean,
right?
The particular technology that I have that we will detect bad guys in a network and stop them doing harm in a way that nobody else can do. So we are potentially a great partner for anybody else who is running a complete security system or managing a security system for somebody. You know, they don't have the technology we have, and we don't manage complete security systems. So it's pretty clear where we each start and stop, particularly here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. So how do people get involved with this? Can anyone who has an interest in these topics and in this arena, they can come to this gala?
They sure can. It's first of all, there's individual memberships that if you wanted to participate, you can go on the website, which is the www.atpconnect.org, and sign up as an individual member. There's also sponsorships that are available for the gala specifically, which are more around table sponsorships.
Uh-huh. But you can be sponsors of ATP in general, like year-round?
You can. There are bundles, sponsorships, platinum, gold, silver. Different levels allow you to have different participation at different events, because we do have three major events during the year.
Uh-huh.
The first is a CIO roundtable in February, and then we have a CIO golf tournament in May, and then we cap it off with the gala, which is in November.
Right. So the gala is kind of the culmination of the year's work.
Right.
And, it really, and when do people start nominating themselves?
Well, the nominations come in the August timeframe, and then we close it out early September.
So it's been closed out already?
It has been closed out.
So you already know who's going to win?
We don't know who's going to win yet.
Gary's got the envelope.
The judging kicks off here shortly.
And then how do they pick?
The judging is a really objective process. So we have 10 to 12 judges, and we have a forced rating.
Are you a judge?
I'm a judge.
Oh. Do you know that, Val?
I did know that. I'm not up for it. I'm not up for it this year.
Okay.
Yeah. No one's ever won.
Do you get to be a judge because you were a winner?
Apparently, I could if I wanted to. Unfortunately, I have a day and night job already, so I'm sadly declined.
That? So you show up in a tiara, prepared to give it up? Like the,
is that how it works?
I believe so.
Right. So, Gary, let's back up for a few moments, if we might, and learn a little bit about your organization, Prosys. Am I saying that right?
Prosys, right. Prosys Information Systems. We are a value-added reseller headquartered in Norcross, Georgia. We were founded 15 years ago, and... where we're a women-owned business enterprise, and about a $500
nice
million...
Nice camouflage.
Exactly. And $500 million organization.
Is there a lot of women-owned businesses in this space? Well, Val, other than you, Val?
They're
and
not,
Prosys?
I would not say a lot, no. It is a niche, because to be a women-owned business enterprise, you have to be not only the you know majority owner, you have to be active in the company.
Right, you just can't...
Right.
Didn't we just have, like, the... grand poobah of the local National Association of Women Business Owners in the studio?
Right. And also we've done some work with WIT, and they said they're always struggling with women-owned business in that space. Or do you find that also, Val?
Yeah. I mean, for anyone listening, please, please, if you're a woman, you know, get involved. Run a business. Get involved in science and technology.
What's your take on why there's not that many women in this space?
You know, I'll be totally honest. I've struggled for the whole of my career, and you know I'm not young. I don't know why. I have no idea why. I mean, I work really closely with Georgia Tech. I'm desperate to take really great young engineers and scientists from Georgia Tech. There are not very many women. They're not coming out of school wanting to do this.
But do you think they're dropping out like at an elementary school or middle school? Like I find women to be such consumers of technology.
You know, it's a huge piece of work. I know the Metro Chamber's involved. All the tech colleges here in Georgia are involved. I'm working with many of them. It's something that we're trying to all understand and work out and solve, is how do we get more young girls and women excited about this at the early stages? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you can't recruit a really senior executive in a technical business if she hasn't come up through school wanting
right.
to do that.
Right. Through the ranks. Now, how did you stay connected in technology through your career?
I just really enjoy it. I found it easier than anything else. I did chemistry way back because I found it the subject I had to do the least work in, if I'm honest.
I like women. I married one years ago. I think they're fantastic. We cut you off kind of. I want to learn a little bit more about Prosys.
Yeah, so Prosys, we're a value-added reseller, so we specialize in different technology solutions. So around cloud, collaboration, virtualization, and data center are four key planks. And we do a lot of business with a lot of major corporations here in Atlanta. We're very good at customizing solutions. So it's not a, you know, buy what's on our truck. It's how can we solve your problem?
That problem may be.
Whatever that is, we'll customize it and make it work for you. Mm-hmm. And then worry about the margins on the back end.
Wow. So that sounds like you have a very consultative relationship with your, like it's a partnership, not just, you're not selling them a commodity.
It truly is. We technology, a lot of it is a commodity, but we take that commodity, wrap value around it, and deliver a solution that's meaningful to them.
Now, can you walk us through, like, what's an engagement look like for you? What's the pain they're having that they're like, I better call Prosys?
Sure. So a lot of it... It varies by organization, obviously, but an example would be what we do for a large telecommunications company, and they deploy or they open new stores on a pretty much a daily basis, monthly basis. They would have to deal with about 80 suppliers,
right.
Different technology suppliers, to open that store. So instead of them doing it directly, we will work with all the suppliers, we'll procure all the technology.
So they're just calling you.
Right. They say, we want to open a store in Smyrna. right. Val's hometown. And we pull all the technology together. We'll test it. We'll configure it. And then we'll master pack it, ship it back to the site where the store is. It's basically at that point a plug and play for them to open their store, which they, so their concerns are taken away from a, how do we get all our technology coordinated, project managed,
right,
and deployed.
And get done in a timely manner.
Exactly.
So these big companies, what kinds of reservations, if any, do they have when you mention the word cloud?
Is that scary, or are the people kind of accepting it nowadays?
It varies across the board. Some people still like to see their own blinking lights right next to them.
So you have a device that just blinks that you
right.
just put next to them.
There's green lights, so we're good.
See, we're
other people right. are shifting, you know, their entire infrastructure into the cloud.
Right.
And it really does vary. Some people are going to an entire enterprise based on Google Mail. Right, which
oh, Gmail?
Big companies. Not, mm-hmm. You're not talking
really?
About like
I'm talking
large, Joe's taxidermy.
No, I'm talking global organizations.
Wow,
are leveraging what Google has built
and
out.
Like all like Google Docs and Google Drive and all
right.
that stuff. So
Google,
they're just
exactly.
saying, "I am going all in with Google."
Mm-hmm. All
and
in
that
or 80% in, 20% out. You know, it's usually a hybrid model. I don't think anybody's going to go 100%.
Right.
It varies based on the risk that they perceive and what they want to accomplish.
Now, Val, maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the security challenges in that kind of environment. A lot of people think like, okay, the cloud gives me that safety net because you have redundancy and stuff. But now there's some bad guys that can go in there and hack your Google account and then just say, okay, delete everything. And then even if you have redundancy, everything's deleted.
No, that's right. And one of the things we're doing is working with some of these cloud companies to help protect the cloud companies themselves because they clearly have to protect their own networks.
Right.
But I would say if you're a small business, unless you've got really good security of your own, the chances are that someone like Google probably does it better than you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So actually, whereas 4 or 5 years ago, we would see people veering away from cloud because they were worried about security, now we actually see people moving to a cloud service because they're worried about security. but not that Google or any of the other big names couldn't be hacked, because they can. And mm-hmm. as I say, we work with them to try to help them not be hacked. But at least they will take care of it really quickly if something does happen and they have the resources to do that. If an individual small business has a problem, it can be very difficult for them to solve that, you know, if they haven't got a big security team or any security team sometimes.
Now, does your stuff, Val, work with Macs as well as PCs?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. We absolutely will work with anything. So one of the things we do that's very different from everybody else out there is we look at it from a network point of view. So we look for network traffic is how we're looking for the bad guys, because the communication, the way a bad guy communicates and the site he communicates to is different from a good site. So we can tell right away that something is going to badguy.com instead of google.com or delta.com or whatever. Because we take that network approach, we don't care what the operating system is. So I can support a Mac, I can support an Android, which is becoming increasingly important to our customers. All of this bring your own device stuff that's mm-hmm. worrying people so much with Androids and iPads mm-hmm. and
oh, I hadn't even
iPhones.
Thought about that.
Oh, yeah.
We don't care what the operating system is. So many of the others out there who are mm-hmm. really trying to find malware on the endpoint, you know, they can only really do that in a Windows or maybe a Linux environment. They can't do it on an Android or a Mac.
Right.
And actually, it's been interesting. We've had some in the early days, we had customers call us and say, you must have this wrong. You must be seeing something that you're calling out is a threat when it's not a threat because it's on a Mac. And the guy who sold me my Mac
told me that there's no viruses
there
here.
<you go. laughs>
Yeah. No worries.
Now, wasn't that for a period of time, that was one of the Mac selling points, was like, no, we're never have viruses. And wasn't that because there just weren't that many of them? And then now,
absolutely. That's absolutely
now
right.
There's millions of them. Now, guess what? You know,
easier target.
There you go.
Right?
That's
yeah.
true.
So there goes
that's
the
true.
Apple sponsorship. I've
yeah,
been
sorry
working
about
on.
That.
No, it's true that the bad guys will follow the money. I mean,
right? They don't
just,
care.
Right?
Absolutely.
They're device agnostic. You know, they don't care.
But you know, companies like Valve's and then another company, Atlanta company, AirWatch. I mean, they specialize just in the securing of BYOD. Right, so they can segment out data that's your personal data from corporate data, put in compliance, and really help you help the IT director, the CIO, manage that security risk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it too early to share 2012 nominees? Is it okay to, or at least talk about the categories? What's the deal?
Yeah, the categories, we do have two distinct categories, enterprise, which again are the consumers of the technology, like the Coca-Colas of the world. And then also we have the service provider category, which are companies like the AT&T's, the Verizon's, CBeyond, et cetera, the ones that are more providing technology services to enterprise clients.
Now, so the nominees are now yet?
Well, the nominees are, actually, the whole list of nominees are on the website.
Okay, so yeah. We'll make them go to the website.
Yep, and we're starting the judging to get it down to the list of finalists, which will be an arduous process in and of itself.
Now, how do you find, how either one of you can answer, like how is Atlanta respected in kind of the country or the world in terms of technology? You guys have any feelings about, are we kind of well positioned, or do you think that we've got some work to do to get our kind of act together here?
You know, I think it depends where you look. I have to be honest, when I first came here, you know, I was in New York at the time, and some of my friends were like, you're going where? But actually, I think you can always do more marketing. And I know the Chamber and various other groups are trying really hard to do that. In many environments, so if I go to the West Coast, I'm some of the funding that I've taken for my business is from the West Coast. And there, they perceive security in Atlanta for sure, and even technology in Atlanta, as something very interesting. So we have funding from Boston, we have funding from Texas, we have funding from the West Coast. And in each of those environments, you know, they are more than happy to invest in Atlanta-based businesses. So I think where people understand technology, certainly, I think we're perceived very well. There's always more marketing you can do to the general public, if you will.
Now, do you find that some companies, you decided to stay here, but some companies get funding and then they move to the West Coast or New York or to the places where they get the funding?
You know, sometimes it happens. And unfortunately, Silicon Valley is a little non-inclusive, shall we say?
Right.
So, there are investment companies in the Valley who like to have their businesses right there in front of them. I mean, I think that's the main reason that you would want to move out of Atlanta and go to the Valley is because your investor likes to walk to his board meetings as opposed to get on a plane to his board meetings.
Right.
You could argue that there's more skills out in the Valley. The problem is there's also more companies going after those skills. So
and a higher standard of living. I mean,
a higher cost of living for sure. Absolutely.
So in addition to all of your other credentials and accomplishments, you've got at least a street degree in funding. I mean, speak to that experience a little bit, because I know a great many of our listeners, a great many of our guests and sponsors, this is a topic very much on their mind, this whole idea of securing funding and the whole bit. Speak a little bit to that, if you would.
So I've been very lucky in the sense that I'm in
lucky. I doubt if it's luck.
Oh, no. I'm lucky in that we're in a really important market, you know, that people need to invest in, that people, you know, everybody knows we've got to do better in security because it's killing businesses if we don't, large and small. And we happen to have an amazing business that's growing very fast with a great product and awesome technology. So in that sense, I'm lucky because I've had a lot of excitement from investors right across the country. I've even had investors in Europe calling me wanting to invest. So I say lucky in the sense that if you've got a good product, now is an amazing time to take funding. I would say to anyone who's looking, if you put together a solid business case and you've got a good product, there has been a real shift away from the Groupon type companies, which everybody was so excited about at one point. Now, if you're a company that doesn't have any revenue, doesn't have any plans for revenue, doesn't really have a business case and doesn't really have a product, you know, you're starting to look less exciting, even to the Valley-based VCs.
Unless you're Twitter.
Well, you know, there's been a real, not that social media companies won't still be invested in, because I'm sure they will, but there's a real shift with a lot of, certainly the larger firms and more of the private equity type of firms and the growth kind of firms, really wanting businesses that have a solid product with a real customer base, you know, right, who are doing something real and meaningful. And that's worked very well in our favor. And I think it worked very well in favor of many of the companies we have here in Atlanta who are getting going and moving, who have something solid and tangible that they can sell.
Now, Gary, does ATP do anything to kind of educate the people about funding and these kind of issues?
We've had events in the past where we do focus on those types of topics, but it's not one of our mainstream topics, I wouldn't say.
Right.
Now, we do partner with the Technology Association of Georgia.
Right.
Tino Mantella and his team, they do a phenomenal job of touching all different types of technology. So, yeah, but funding is, we know it's a challenge, and that might be a good topic for our future event.
Yeah, I certainly would think so, and a good topic for us to continue to focus on here in the studio as well. What is the next big thing in your arena, if you're at liberty to say or hypothesize about?
You mean in terms of business or in terms of the threats?
either one, but I was really thinking about new opportunities, new technology, new markets, the next big thing in your world, you think?
So in my world, I want to really expand outside of the U.S. So far, I've got no people. All my people are in the U.S. I've actually got some deals in Europe and some deals in Asia, but no people. I have some fantastic partners, which is great, but at some point, you have to really support those partners on the ground. So we now have our technology. All done is probably the wrong word because you're always improving it. But right. we have the product. It's very robust. It's very scalable. So now what we're going to do is take that out around the world and really start selling it very aggressively through resellers such as Gary's around the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, Gary, getting back to the ATP a little bit, you're looking for new members always?
Always looking for new members, right?
And then what meets the profile in your mind of members you'd like more of?
Check clears.
Yeah, that.
Check yeah, right, exactly. Or credit card.
You'll
either
take
one.
Anyone.
Cash works. It's really anybody that really wants to connect and drive a career or just strengthen relationships, whether it's personal relationships or partnerships in communications and technology. And the one key thing that I've found personally is that you really need to be involved. You can't just show up.
You don't want just members that write checks. You want members that are active.
Well, I mean, members that write checks are great because that's how we do support our organization on an annual basis. But to get what they want out of the association is getting involved and working on an event or working as a part of the board or as a part of one of the committees, subcommittees that put on the gala, for example.
Right.
And once you start getting involved, then you have a chance to meet folks like Val and peers of hers that really make relationships richer. And really help move your career along as well.
And you have the education component as well. So it's not just networking for your own business, but you're also learning stuff and you're staying current on what the trends are that are happening in the industry.
Exactly.
Now, from a sponsor standpoint, you obviously, sponsorship is a key driver of the revenue of the group, I would assume.
The key.
The key. And so what kind of sponsors are you guys looking for?
We're looking for sponsors that are either in the space, again, in the service provider space, or even from a manufacturer perspective, companies that have key components such as a Cisco or a Hewlett Packard or people like Aruba Networks. These people offer technology hardware and then also additional enterprise clients or enterprise sponsors. That would be any of the companies that have a presence here, headquartered here, that would like to get their individuals, their team members involved in an association that does what we do.
And you have three events a year. You have the CIO.
CIO Roundtable.
Roundtable. You got the golf tournament.
And
the gala.
And the gala. And they all have cocktails.
And involved. Then there's other meetings involved
important.
Throughout the year, right? You have monthly.
Seven other monthly meetings. Seven. Right.
So it's 10 meetings a year.
Right.
I'm absolutely fascinated by this whole industry. And I can see if someone spends a half hour with Val, how they would be absolutely compelled to at least seriously entertain working with you. But I don't know, how do you ever get in front of a CIO or someone that can get you in front of the right person to make a decision unless you're part of an association like this and making good connections? I mean, that's got to be the toughest part of your business, even when you've got the best mousetrap in town.
It's always tough. I mean, I moved here not knowing anybody here in Atlanta.
Right.
So, you know, I had a lot of great connections up in New York, but not here. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you need a group like this that can introduce you to some of these people. And you can do it through selling. I mean, we have people on phones making phone calls, but it's not the same as having somebody who's friends with the CIO of, you know, XYZ Corporation walking you over and saying, hey, Val, meet John. You know, it's just very different.
Right.
And I really consider that accelerating relationships. I've been in sales for 25 plus years now, and I haven't made a cold call for the last 23.
So you learned your lesson and took two years to get enough scar tissue to
exactly.
say, I don't want to do that anymore.
I don't want to do that anymore. So you find common interests. You find relationships. And it really, for me, it's if I can extend value first and with no expectation, ultimately it'll turn into something that's valuable down the road.
Now, in your business, you have clients all over the world as well?
We have multinational clients. They're mostly domestic as far as where we do business today. We're looking to expand globally as well.
Uh-huh.
So,
but you have a strong presence here in town.
We do, right? We're headquartered here in Norcross,
and so you're targeting the companies here in town. It's an important part of your business.
Yes, totally.
And that's where you personally spend your time.
I do.
But we should do this from time to time. I think have people from this association come on, talk about their business, talk about what's happening with ATP. I think that would make good for a good periodic segment.
Val, if it's okay with Val.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it makes a ton of sense.
Clear with Val. With Val.
Hey, no, Val won't be the profession of the year anymore very soon.
No, I can see if you're getting results like that over the last 20-plus years, I can see why now you're willing to invest the time and energy to make ATP what it's become. Mm-hmm. And you really are getting a return on that investment. It makes sense to me.
I think it's important for people on both sides of the partnership, the relationship, to determine who they want to spend time with.
Right.
So it's not
and because people have a limited amount of time.
Sure.
So where are you going to efficiently spend your time?
You know, individually or even at events.
Right.
And so, you know, I selected ATP a while ago, and it's paid huge dividends. And I, quite frankly, I'm selective on the clients that I want to work with.
Right.
You know, and I think it's both sides of the equation that have to make those decisions.
Right. All right, Val, if somebody wants to learn more about your firm, what's the website?
Our website is www.damballa.com, and that's D-A-M for mother, B-A-L-L-A.
Good stuff. And Gary Process, what are the coordinates there?
It's www.process.com.
And ATP, and if you want to attend the gala, there's still tickets available, I would imagine.
There are.
There's probably still sponsor opportunities available if you went to the...
Tremendous sponsor opportunities available.
So all that, what's the website?
It's www.atpconnect.org.
All right. Well, thank you both for being part of the show. We really appreciate it. And this is our ATP special edition. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.